Lord, I just pray for our time together with you and the Word. Lord, thank you that your Word is living and active. Lord, your Word sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces within us, Lord, as far as the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, as you say. And it's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of our heart. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Kind of just bringing you in on some thoughts I have. I'm trying to funnel it down to something that's kind of hard to do is getting your thoughts all together. They're kind of scattered. Something I've been praying about for a while, just asking the Lord to give me some more revelation about, you know. Again, you've heard me say this so many times, it's really true that things come to us in our walk with the Lord, in our Christian life, by way of revelation, right? That God reveals them. They become revelation to us in our heart. And when it becomes revelation to us, then as we see it, we say, oh, I see, you know, it becomes real to us. And so the Lord's always doing that. He's always, you know, Paul, when he was praying for the church in Ephesus, when he wrote to them, he said, shared the prayer that he always prays with them, for them, and there's that, tell them that, you know, God has given them a spirit, and I pray that a spirit of wisdom and revelation would be given to you in the knowledge of God, so that you can know everything that he has for you, what his calling on your life is, and that you would know the surpassing power that you have and you possess as a person full of the presence of God. And so we're just constantly having to hear that over and over again and to understand who we are in Christ and as he lives in us and the whole new covenant. Jeremiah shares this when he's prophesying about this new covenant that would happen and real kind of a simple thing that our sins and our lawless deeds, he would remember no more. He would forget our sin and that he would write his laws on our minds and in our hearts. Well, he would just, in other words, his spirit would now come live within us, the living word, and he would be in us, right? Real simple. He will come to live within you, and your sins I will remember no more. He forgets that. And that's mind-boggling there to know that the Lord does that. He just chooses to forget. So we just learn as we walk with him, we try to remember what he remembers and forget what he forgets. But the enemy is always reminding us to remember what God has forgotten, right? Which is our sin. And we forget what he remembers, and that's that we are, we're flesh, right? So that was pretty jumbled. But here's what I want to kind of communicate. And it's about Jesus says, when John had his revelation, you know, the whole book is a revelation of Christ, right? When he has that, and when he heard Jesus speaking behind him, he calls him, he said, I heard this voice, right? And this voice was like the sound of many waters. And it's like the sound of a trumpet. And so he turns and sees, you know, Jesus in all his glory, falls down, you know, and worships him. But this voice of him speaking, it's a very powerful thing. That's where the Lord has had me for a while, because there's just something about, because in the book of John, especially if you want to go and read about, you know, when Jesus says that he only does what he sees the Father doing, right? And he said that he only speaks what he hears the Father speaking. And his time with the Lord, when he would go seek God, whatever the Lord would say, he would yes and amen, and join his voice with the voice of God, and that he would declare and speak his word. And so we do that too. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, you can go back and look at these scriptures if you want to. 2 Corinthians 4, 13, Paul said, I believe, therefore I speak. In other words, he said this, I speak what I believe. I speak it out, right? And there's just something real powerful in speaking out what God has said. You know, in the Old Testament, it's so sad because, you know, the Old Testament is just so cool. It's just full of supernatural activity, right? angels. And you know, when Joseph had dream, Joseph marries Joseph, when God wanted to speak to him, he would come and speak to him in a dream, and he would have angels speaking to him in dreams. It didn't wig him out at all. It was like, okay. And he did it, right? And that was so normal. And you just have all this angelic activity and things that Ezekiel got to see, and Daniel, and just all this supernatural stuff. And then when we get into the New Testament, what's happened through the years is people try to beat that out of us. And now we don't need all that stuff. We have a book, right? Well, that's not good. You know, that's just like, well, heck, we get the best out of it. But we don't. We know that. Supernatural. But there's a thing that they really believed in, and it was the power of releasing a blessing and a curse. You know, because Esau wanted to kill Jacob because Jacob had stolen his blessing, right? You all know that. He deceived his father. He got, you know, he was a whole name meant usurper and everything. But that was a powerful thing. And that set the course of their lives. Even when later when Jacob was dying and he spoke over the his sons and stuff, and he would give these blessings, right, over them. Very powerful. And so Esau knew that, and that's the reason he wanted to kill him so bad, because it was stolen, because there was something that was released in that person's voice that made things around them activate around him, right? And, you know, the story when Balak, how do we pronounce his name? Balak, I've heard it several ways. When he tried to get Balaam to curse Israel, remember that? And that's when the donkey talked to him and everything, and he said, I just can't do that. Well, he knew that there was something powerful, that he would get this prophet, this guy who was a prophet, that whenever that prophet would speak, or there's something is released. So if he would release a curse, then they would be cursed, right? And even Moses in Deuteronomy 11, when he's telling Joshua and them, when you cross over into the promised land, which is just a great picture of Joshua as kind of the Old Testament equivalent to the New Testament book of Ephesians. So there was one thing they were to do, and they were to get on, there was two mountains that kind of faced each other. Six of the tribes were to get over on one side, the six on the other, and they were there to pronounce blessings and curses, right? And on the mountain which they pronounced blessing, there was this, it was kind of a green mountain, a lot of things growing there, and on this other side was very deserty and dry and stuff. It was kind of a weird thing, but it was really true. And just another picture, one of Jesus, which is given a picture, everything's pointing to the cross in the New Testament, where, you know, the curses and the blessing, Jesus became a curse on the cross and broke all that, so we now live in the blessing, right? But there was something very important about them speaking these blessings. If you want to read it, go to Deuteronomy 28. It's awesome when you begin to speak these blessings. And just understanding that Jesus is part of what he won for us on the cross. So now as New Testament believers, when Jesus is speaking, you know, he tells them this in Matthew 18. We've all heard that. There's one in Matthew 16 and 18. I'll read them real quick. Very familiar verses for us. See, 16:19. It says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And he says this again in 18:18. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. So, a real powerful word here, reminder. There's one I was going to read. There's one in Isaiah 59, where the Spirit said, I put my words in your mouth. And I think 2 Samuel, I have one marked down. I'm just saying these, so if you want to go back and look at them, you can go back and read. There's one is in 2 Samuel 23. David is praying this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. So say all that to say, It is not something that where we can get legalistic about, or there's this word of faith movement at one time in the body of Christ is kind of still around, that you could pretty much get whatever you spoke, whatever you did, you know, God would give it to you. That's not true. If he says it, yes, that is true, right? Where am I going here? Yeah, Romans. Again, if you haven't heard any of the teaching on Romans, Bishop's doing on Wednesday night, I'd encourage you to go back and listen. It's really good. But Romans chapter 10, a lot of famous verses here we're all familiar with, because we use that as part of our Romans Road to Heaven. If you've never seen the Romans Road to Heaven, then Google it, right? We used to use that early on back in the, it's real popular back in the 70s and 80s. You get these little tracks, Romans Road, you could walk people through how to get saved, you know, Romans 3:23, then Romans 6:23, all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God, you know, and then you move them on up here to Romans 10, where if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved, right? Really cool little tool to have. But Romans, remember, this book of Romans was written to believers and not written to lost people, right? And when he's in Romans chapter 10 is where we get faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. You know, that faith is substance, right? If I'm supposed to have faith in something to happen, then the Lord will speak a word into that thing. And when he speaks a word into this situation, then I have something to sink my teeth into, right? I have something to bite into, like, you know, the substance. He does that. So, and that's what he's talking about here. But one thing is really cool that he says, I'll just read one verse. This is as believers. The word is near you, it's in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we're preaching. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And he says, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Actually, the way that's written in the Greek is in your mouth already is confession, and in your heart is already belief, because you're in Christ, right? And so when the Lord speaks, he uses our mouth. And when he puts in us his word, he speaks a word in our heart. So as New Testament believers, as those who are in Christ, confession is in our mouth and belief is in our heart. Okay, well, what are you trying to say to this? Because as you're looking at me, I'm just confusing you even more. We have the authority of Christ within us. We know that, right? He's in us. And all things are under his feet. So sometimes it really is important in our walk with him that we are not just believing what he says, but we are speaking what he says, right? Because it's in, remember what Jesus said, with things that you bind on earth will be bound, and things you release will be released, right? Meaning that you can bind demonic activity over something, but you can also release angelic activity over something, right? So you can bind the warfare. We've all seen that happen. You know, if you've been around here, if you've been walking with the Lord for years, I see that happen all the time, where you pray for someone or go in a house. Went and blessed a house recently, and there was a child getting sick, you know, at night, just high fevers, throwing up, and it would be gone in the morning. You know, next night, high fever, puking, sick, gone, right, the next morning. What the heck? So went to pray for that house, and there was something there. And so, you know, we got rid of it. And he's fine. That's not happening anymore, right? So we bound what was there and got rid of it, and then we released a blessing. That's what you do at a house blessing. You're actually exterminating. You're there to get rid of stuff and release stuff too, right? You're exterminating, but you release a blessing. Very important. So many times in my walk, there's been where the Lord has given me something or spoken a promise in my life, and you know, you're kind of wrestling through it, and then he just kind of stirs up in my heart, you know, Craig, pray this, speak this. Speak it out, pray it out. Now, that's not a religious ingredient thing, like if I don't do it, the Lord's not going to move. But it's not about that at all. It's about walking in faith. It's about the reality of that thing I'm talking to you about. When it says, beliefs in the heart and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Well, that word salvation just means the word deliverance, right? That deliverance is in my mouth and is in my tongue, right? That when I release, and what I'm doing is I'm in union now. We hear that all the time with Jesus. He lives within me. I'm in union with him, right? And if I'm in union with him, then I speak what he is speaking. I join my voice, I join my lips with what the Lord is saying. And as I speak and release that thing, then kingdom activity happens. Right? You can do that. You have the authority to do that in your home, in your life, or whatever. You can release the activity of God, and you can bind the activity of the enemy. Right? You have that authority. We can do that. But it even goes further than that, right? Because Peter talks about that. When we speak, he says, whoever speaks, let him speak as though it were the very oracles of God, right? Speak his word. Speak what he's saying. I've just seen that. You know, it seems like I would get it, you know, more, what the Lord is saying. I remember one time he was, we showed up to school one day, and it was just crazy day. You know, kids were nuts. Teachers were stressed. And there was just something. So I just, the Lord just said, pray over it. And I walked over here and he said, now speak out, you know? So I did. I just started speaking out loud. Lord, I just bind in Jesus' name this demonic activity, and I just release your presence of that. And it just, the atmosphere flipped, just totally changed in a second, in a moment. It stopped, right? So we can do that in our lives. Sometimes we are in things too long. In other words, we're wrestling and we're in this battle that we don't that we could stop just by speaking, just by proclaiming what the Lord says, right? Because out of the heart, you know, abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, you know, and we know that. Jesus said that whatever a man speaks, you know, you can kind of tell what's going on in their heart or what they're, you know, happy about or struggling with, because it begins to come out of our mouth. But as a believer, now, when the Lord, if you go back and read Jeremiah chapter 1, you know, he was really a young guy. Jeremiah was really young when the Lord called him to be a prophet. And he told him that he would, be a prophet to the nations, and he never went anywhere. How's he going to be a prophet to the nations without ever going anywhere, right? Because he shifted things in nations, right? Through his voice and through what God said, he would speak it out, and things would happen. He told him that you're going to pluck up, tear down, destroy, but you also are going to plant and build with my word, which goes forth from my mouth. So there are things in all of our lives that the Lord is doing. Some things are delayed, some things aren't. Some things are delayed because we're delaying them. Some things are delayed because there's some things the Lord's speaking to us about we need to do or let go of. That's, we all know that, right? Normal Christian life. But also things that the Lord wants to do in your life, and he wants to rise something up within you, because he wants to call forth in you a warrior and a fighter. Right, many of you are like that, in you know, within your daily lives or in the world anywhere. But in the kingdom, you may not feel like you're like that, but you really are. We're warriors, right? And I've just been Timothy. You know, when Paul writes to him, especially 1 Timothy, tells him to do two things. One, fight with the prophecies spoken over your life. He was saying, Timothy, hey man, you're struggling right now. Now get up and fight. Remember those words that God spoke in your life, those prophecies he gave you? Now take them and fight with that. Well, how do I do that? Speak it, right? Declare it. Rise up, you know? I'm depressed, or I'm this and all that, because I'm just believing lies. Rise up and you speak truth. God, you said. And something, when you start doing that, y'all, I'm telling you that something within you will just come forth. And then he tells him at the end, you know, fight, pursue these things, fight this good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life, which means, again, not that I'm going to die and go to heaven one day, but the life that you have right now in Christ is eternal life. Grab it. It's all yours. Fight it. Fight, right? Rise up. Grab a hold of it, is what he's saying. And you know what? That's how you fight. You fight the faith. All of it is centered around what he says, what he has been, who you are. You know, Timothy was a young guy, but he was also over a lot of churches. He was the head guy. He was the bishop in charge. Probably had a lot of priests way older than him and everything. He's probably intimidated by a lot of stuff. So Paul was writing him to encourage him all the time. Timothy, I know you're young, but dude, get up and fight. Grab hold. Take hold. The prophecies, right? You're not believing them. God spoke these things to you. It's not his fault. It's yours. And then whatever happened, Timothy did it, right? So said all that. Took a long time to say, but it's so important if you want to walk in the victory that's yours in Christ, right? We tolerate so much junk and nonsense that we don't have to tolerate in our lives because we don't know who we are, right? We don't realize that we're these big, huge warriors and we have all these little, lack of better words, little pygmies around us who are the enemy intimidating us, right? The word is in you. It's in your mouth because Christ is in you. He is called in Scripture a dread champion, a victorious warrior. He says he will dance and shout over us with joy. This is Veterans Day, so I'm giving you a veteran's word. The baddest that ever lived is in you, right? Now, do something with it. Rise up. Speak. Whatever you bound will be bound, right? Whatever you loose will be loosed. Amen? That is your gift from him.